This is March 13th, 2025. We're in Bedford, Massachusetts at the Edith Norris Rogers Memorial Veterans Hospital. And this recording is part of the Morse Institute's Libraries Continuing Veterans Oral History Project. My name is Jim Ramsey. Our camera person is Maureen Sullivan. And we're privileged to have with us today Samuel Philip Calamo Sr. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you. May I ask when you were born?
June 7th, 1947.
And where were you born?
Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Gloucester. Not far from home here, are you?
Nope.
Sam, tell us a little bit about your life growing up. Did you grow up most of your formative years in Gloucester?
Yes, I did.
So tell us a little bit about your family, what it was like in Gloucester growing up.
Oh, I had a nice, very nice family and a gang of kids my age that stuck together as friends for years.
Hmm. So kind of all the way through school?
Yes.
Your friends?
Yes.
What about siblings, Sam?
Yeah, my son.
Your brother, you had brothers or sisters?
Oh, yeah. I had two brothers, one passed away, and two sisters.
I see. are they still living in the Gloucester area?
No.
Or they moved away?
One lives in Beverly, Mass. One of my sisters, and my son lives in New Hampshire.
Your son, and your, so you have one child, one son, or?
That's it.
And what is your son's name?
Samuel Philip Calamos, Jr.
Jr., great. So you were, are you married now, Sam, or you were married?
No, my wife's deceased.
I see.
She died last year.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Or was it? No, a couple of years ago.
Right. Do you have grandchildren?
Yes, I have two grandsons and one granddaughter.
All Sam Jr.'s children?
No.
No.
The granddaughters from my family, not, I was a married, but she was a
so it was a second wife, or you were married twice?
Yes.
Oh, okay, got it. Sure, good. Did you live in Gloucester before you came here to the Bedford VA hospital?
Yeah, and I still live in Gloucester.
Okay, so you have a home in Gloucester?
Yes.
Right. What was it like?
20.
What?
10 minute walk from my house to the ocean.
10 minute walk to the ocean. You know, I've been reading a little bit about Gloucester lately for another reason, but obviously Gloucester is a huge fishing port.
My father and brother were fishermen.
They were. So did they own a boat?
My father owned a boat.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he fish for?
In the winter, he fished ground fishing for haddock, cod, whiting. And sometimes they get some crabs and lobsters in the net because they dragged on the bottom of the ocean.
In the that's what ground fishing is?
Yeah.
And what about the summertime?
In the summertime, they went seining.
Seining?
is to loop around the fish on the top of the ocean and catch them.
Did you ever go out on the boat?
Yeah, but I didn't work. I mean, I did work helping out, but I never, my father told us years ago, don't ever be fishermen. It's a hard, dirty, tough life. And I seen it on the crabs, the fishing of the crabs on TV.
Up in the Bering Sea?
Yes.
The Aleutian Islands?
Yes, and that's hell.
It is, it looks like hell.
And it's not as bad, but it's a hard job.
Fishing, I think, is one of the hardest jobs period.
Yes. Yeah.
So your dad must, but.
I have uncles that went with them too.
Great, great. Well, Gloucester's a special place. So what was it like growing up in Gloucester? I guess you were 47, so you were growing up in the 50s. What was it like there?
It was like, I don't know, it was nice, peaceful.
Peaceful.
Everybody was friendly.
Now this was during, the part of this was during the Cold War. You know, the Russia, you know, the communists, the concern about nuclear warfare, that kind of stuff. Do you recall any of that as being something that you or your family were concerned about, or not much?
Yes, I was concerned. And I got, me and a friend of mine wanted to join the Air Force.
Oh, because of the stuff going on?
Right.
Huh.
And we took a test for the Air Force, and one of my best friends, Vito Militello, was who we tried to get in with. And they took him and they didn't take me, and I couldn't understand what happened.
You took some kind of a test.
Yeah. And I couldn't understand why they took him and not me. So
was this after you, were you a high school graduate?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were, okay, so.
I was working.
Yeah, you told me, what were you doing, what were you working at?
GE and Lynn.
And what did you do at GE and Lynn?
We were working on, I went to Mass Radio and Electronic School for a couple of years, 65 to 67.
So you got trained in that?
Electronics.
Kind of, that was what, after high school or?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And we worked in a white room.
A white room?
Yeah, everything we wore was white. White caps, white shirt.
A clean room.
Yeah.
What were you working on?
Gyroscopes.
Gyroscopes?
Yeah.
For airplanes?
Right. They had big contracts with them.
So you must have been good mechanically and electrically.
Not really, but. They trained us.
They trained you. Good, good. So this brought us up to what, like 67 or so?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then what happened?
I got drafted.
Ah.
That's why I didn't get called for the Air Force. They knew I was drafted.
Oh, I see. So you basically think that had some, your low draft number had something to do with that? So you were drafted, and you went to be inducted. Were you inducted in Gloucester or Boston or?
Boston.
Boston. And about when was that? Towards the
67.
kind of the end of?
The end of 67.
Toward the end of 67. So you were in the Army?
Yes.
Not necessarily voluntarily.
Right. I was a shy guy.
You were a shy guy?
Yeah. Very shy.
I'd never know that.
My son knows it. He's like me.
So what did you think? I mean, here you were drafted. Vietnam was going on. What was going through your mind at that moment?
Heaven help me.
Heaven help you.
And heaven did.
Heaven did.
God help me.
And we're going to get to that as part of your story. I know that's an important part of your story.
Yes.
So not long after you were drafted, I guess you went to boot camp.
Yes. It was a hard boot camp. Weather was, Fort Dix, New Jersey, the weather was zero.
You were there right smack in the winter time.
Awful cold.
Winter of 67, 68.
Right. And doing physical training. We had the bars, overhead bars.
Yeah, like the monkey bars?
Yes.
Bar? Yep.
And my hands stuck to the bars. It was so cold. And the DI says, "What are you doing?" I said, "My hands are stuck to the bar from the ice and cold." He kicked me from behind and I fell down. He says, "Get up there and try it again."
Of course, your hands were, at that point, they were injured, probably.
Yeah. I got up, I tried it again, and the same thing happened. He kicked me down again. He says, "You're in for KP now tonight."
Kitchen police.
Yes.
So that meant you got to work in the kitchen and clean up everything.
And it seemed like 100 pots and pans. Scrub them down and everything.
So that was your reward for the obstacle course.
Yeah.
Were there any bright moments in boot camp? Anything good about it that you found?
I don't know what you mean about bright, but it was...
I mean, happy, pleasant, good.
Yeah, when it was over.
When boot camp was over, was a good time.
Yes.
But the key thing is you made it through.
That's right.
Right?
And I missed part of the training. Because I caught pneumonia from the weather and everything. So I missed part of it.
So you spent part of boot camp in the infirmary, probably.
Right. About 10 days. And meanwhile, they're going through the training. I missed it. So I had to make up when we had the ending of this continuation.
So you had to tack some time on at the end?
No. We had our training, we had our tests.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over everything. But the reason why I passed was we had a 5-mile run.
Yeah.
And I came in about 20th, which was pretty good. It passed me to a course.
So you were a good runner?
Yeah.
Good for you. So you passed?
Yeah.
And so you completed boot camp, and what was next?
I got my orders to go to Fort Sam Houston, Texas, for medical training.
For medical training. Did you request that or take a test to do that? Or how did you get selected for medical training?
I don't know, but God must have done it.
Well, I know that medics were badly needed.
Yeah.
During the Vietnam time.
And, yep.
So you went from New Jersey to Texas.
Right.
To be trained as a medic.
Yes.
And by now we were into 1968.
Yes. When I got there, I told them, I can't do this medical training because I'm afraid of needles myself.
Ah.
And blood, I was afraid of blood. So they sent me to a captain, and he says, what's the matter? And I told him, he says, you either do this or we send you right to Vietnam.
To the infantry, probably.
To the infantry. I says, okay. So I learned to cope with it and do it.
But that must have been a challenge right off the bat.
Oh yeah.
So.
And then I started liking it. They shipped me to Fort Ord.
Okay.
Another thing I put in for. I put in for California. The other two was Dixon. Fort Sam Houston. I didn't put in for it, but it helped me.
And so,
so
the medical training that you got. I mean, you were being trained as an Army medic,
right?
And I guess really a combat medic,
right?
What was that like?
Like hard.
Hard.
Hard to do. He guided me, so I enjoyed it.
You basically worked around your fears.
Yeah.
And figured it out.
Yep.
Why did you go to, you were at Fort Ord. What did you do at Fort Ord?
We were in a aid station.
Aid station?
Yes.
And what is that? I don't.
It gives needles. Anybody gets injured, you know, breaks an arm or whatever.
Oh, I see. Now, Fort Ord, was there a lot of training going on there at Fort Ord?
Yeah.
So you were providing medical services?
Medical services.
For the people stationed there at Fort Ord?
Correct.
Okay. And you were there for relatively short time.
About 10 months.
About 10, okay, 10 months.
Then I got the message from the Army sent me a notice after 10 months being there to go to Vietnam.
So you got your orders to Vietnam?
From there, yeah.
And did you say that you got to go home? You had leave?
I had leave.
Like 30 days?
Yes.
So by then, I guess we were getting close to the end of 1968?
Yeah.
Did you go right to Vietnam from your home? From Massachusetts?
No, they flew us to, Oakland.
Sure.
And we went from Oakland all the way to
Vietnam. All the way to
Vietnam.
Where did you, so by that time, were you like a private or private first class?
I was a private first class.
Right.
And you got moved up right away.
Right.
To a specialist.
So when you went to Oakland and then on to Vietnam, were you kind of flying by yourself or were you with a group?
No, there was a group. Big group.
But were they all going to different places? Or was it
They
all
dropped off at Japan and then to Vietnam, but we stayed at Japan.
Okay.
For refueling and all that.
But everybody was bound for Vietnam.
I imagine.
Eventually. Right. And where did you, so you landed where? Close to Saigon?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, welcome to Vietnam.
Right.
What was it like when you got off the plane?
They called your name and told you where you were going. And I was going to it's supposed to be an aid station.
Okay. But
I went to an army barracks, like, first of all.
And I think you told me that at some point that you were, and maybe early on, you were assigned to the 199th
Light Infantry Brigade.
Light Infantry Brigade?
Yes.
And was that basically the unit that you were attached to?
That's right.
The whole time you were in Vietnam?
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Okay. And if I said the name Red Catchers, would that ring a bell?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
I actually don't know.
The reason I ask, I did a little bit of looking, and somehow the nickname
of the brigade. All units had nicknames.
Red, referring to communists.
Could be.
Viet Cong or North Vietnamese.
Could be, yes.
I just saw that was the kind of a nickname for that brigade.
Yes.
You're a medic. You're assigned to the 199th Infantry, Light Infantry Brigade.
Right.
So you went to some smaller unit within that. Where did you ultimately get assigned?
I was assigned to a mortar platoon.
A mortar platoon.
Which was fairly good because you don't get that much training in the field at first.
Don't get much training in the field?
Well,
or exposure.
Exposure to the war, really.
So you've got like
healing China.
Right. You've got like a rifle platoon and then a mortar platoon, right?
Yeah.
And the rifle platoon, I mean, you're all part of the infantry.
Yeah.
So you were like part of your platoon was part of a company, probably? I think you mentioned at one point maybe Bravo Company.
Something like that.
Right. There's a structure, company, platoon, yeah. Company, battalion, brigade.
Yeah.
So tell us about a mortar platoon. What's a mortar platoon?
They have bigger guns. The mortars go in and they shoot them off.
They're kind of base mounted on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Put a shell in it.
Yeah.
And then the shell is fired?
Yes.
So typically the mortar folks are kind of behind the infantry.
That's true.
Shooting at the enemy.
That's right.
And trying to give some support to the infantry with their rifles. right? Right. Is that the kind of the idea?
Yes.
So you're a medic assigned to that platoon.
Yes. And I had a lieutenant come in, brand new, and he cut himself deep in the hand. And he said, if you can heal this without stitches, I'll keep you here instead of sending you out in the field.
Kind of back at headquarters, you mean?
No, right there.
Right there?
With the motor platoon.
With the platoon. Oh, as opposed to going out in the field.
Right.
Okay. So how'd you make out with that?
So I used, I soaked his hand in, what do they call it? And this stuff that's good for that.
Some kind of a cream or something?
Soaked it first and then.
So you cleaned it up.
And put this in on the wound and bandage it. Every day for 20 days or so.
Hmm.
And it healed. He says, you're not going anywhere.
So what was he, the platoon leader?
He was, he was first lieutenant, okay. Not a platoon leader.
Okay.
He was in charge.
Like a company guy or a higher level?
Yep. But he worked the mortars.
You work the mortars.
They have coordinates that they have to figure out.
Right, the mortar basically is set up, I mean, somebody is trying to aim this
right
at the enemy, so somebody has to tell them where the enemy is.
That's right.
And then he has to set it up.
Yep.
So that the shell lands where the enemy is.
Correct.
That's the coordinates that you're talking about.
Yes. But late into the year, they sent an attack on the enemy, but it fell on our own men.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the aid station manager, he was a specialist in his field, wanted me out in the field bad. So when the lieutenant went out in the field after that, because he was in charge of that mission, and they got me to go out in the field now.
So was this after, I missed one thing. You say one of the mortar rounds landed in, it and misfired,
hit,
it landed within your lines.
Hit my own men.
Right. And were people were hurt?
Yes.
Did you get involved and need to get involved in taking care of them?
No, they were in the hospital.
They were where?
They went to the hospital.
Oh, they went directly to the hospital. Okay.
Remember, Sam, you told me you had several incidents where you were very in danger.
Yes.
So then you went out in the field.
I went out in the field.
With, like, the platoon, or you went out?
With the platoon.
With the platoon. So where did you go in the field? Out closer to where the infantry was?
Yeah.
And again, this was around the Saigon area, I guess.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not necessarily Saigon too much.
So when you went out in the field.
Yeah.
So when you joined up with, so what did you do? You joined up with a rifle platoon or something that was out in the field? Or soldiers?
Soldiers.
And were they engaging the enemy?
We were, sure. Yeah.
And the mortars were there, so they were providing support for the troops?
Right.
And how long were you out doing this?
Well, we set up camp. He came back to the camp after he went out. Some missions were longer than others.
So you had a camp, you went out to conduct missions.
Right. And it was, I'll tell you a few of the missions.
Good, and we'd like to hear about that. And the missions were against the Viet Cong, the North Vietnamese?
Right.
Kind of both.
They're the same thing.
Right. So tell us about some of these missions that you went on, Sam, please.
We get orders to go. And I had to pick so many men to go out with us.
You had to pick?
Yes.
Okay.
That was healthy enough to go out. You know, some men had all ringworm in their feet.
And they couldn't go.
Couldn't go.
So you had, I got it. They had to be medically cleared.
Cleared. And then I picked who was to go. And we went into the field. And there was jungles we had to go through. And we had to, this one incident, our own men were shooting at the Viet Cong, and we were on the other end of it, in the middle. And we had to hit the dirt, the ground, and lay flat. And that way, none of us got anything.
So when you say we, you and the mortar guys?
No, they were behind us.
Oh, they were behind. So you're talking the infantry.
The infantry.
So you were part of a group that got caught in a crossfire.
Right. But
and
we made it. We made it through.
So you basically hit the deck, hit the ground.
And stopped firing back.
And you, now, what, were you carrying a weapon yourself?
Yes.
What weapon did you have?
A rifle.
M16?
Yes.
Did you fire too?
Not really. I never. I carried it, but I never used it.
I know the medics are generally, I mean, your job is to heal.
Right.
Focus on that and taking care of people.
Right.
Not necessarily lead combat.
Yes.
So did everybody kind of make it out okay in that one incident?
Yes. We got no injuries.
So then.
That incident.
So then you jumped up and then joined the other.
Yeah.
The group?
Yeah.
And did you continue on a mission then?
No, we went back.
Back to base camp.
Right.
So that was one close call.
Yeah.
I guess you'd say that.
Yeah.
And I guess the result of that engagement was they must have beaten the enemy. or at least force them back.
Yeah.
That was good.
It was good.
So you went back to base camp, and did you have to go right back out again?
No, not. You waited till you got called.
They got called out on another
mission. Yep.
So
they told us the night before.
Okay, so you get an alert.
Right.
And then you got to be ready to go.
Yep.
So were you transported like by helicopter?
Sometimes.
To the next mission.
And that's what I was going to say. I let everybody go on the chopper before me because I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And thought I was, you know, helping them.
Get ready, get up on the chopper?
No. I felt I would take the last seat.
Yeah.
On the chopper. Big mistake.
Yeah, why?
Because the chopper we went on was open door. I forget if they call them Hueys.
Yeah.
And you sat with the men that went in front of me all had a nice seat in the chopper.
Yeah.
I had to sit out on the edge.
Oh, your legs dangling over?
Yes.
Ah.
And there was what do you call them, above your head to hang on.
Oh, like a cable or a cord?
No, it was iron, a shelf-like, but it's only a couple inches, about 4 or 5 inches. And you had to hang on to that shelf.
So you're holding on with both hands?
Yes. And they made wide turns, and it felt like you were going to fall out and get killed. And God gave me the strength to hold on and make it to the mission.
And was there also a gunner or something?
Yeah.
Standing at that door, kind of to protect against enemy.
Yep.
Ever encounter enemy while you were in this precarious position?
No.
All you had to do was just.
Fortunately.
All you had to do was just hang on.
Right.
But that's where basic training came in, right?
Yeah.
The monkey bars. Wow. So. Was this like a 5 minute ride, a half hour? I mean, quick.
Could be a half hour. Variable.
So that was probably the last time you volunteered to be last.
Yes.
On the helicopter.
You got to learn the hard way.
So therefore,
I'd be screaming, help, but they couldn't hear me with the motor going.
I see. Boom, boom, boom. So that was a terrifying thing.
It was very terrifying.
Well, you survived it. When you landed, at least you were first off.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you went on a mission with the troops. And how many of these missions did you kind of go on?
Depends.
Just whatever was needed.
Right. From up above.
Up, right. Senior.
Senior people.
Chain of command. So on that mission, or maybe you'd like to tell us about another, in other words, you know, some things happened, I know, to you and others. You know, tell us a bit about a mission.
Mission is to capture or kill and destroy.
Which gets to the nickname Red Catchers.
Yeah.
Capture, kill, or destroy the enemy. And so once you landed in the helicopter, this was what, like 20, platoon size force, a couple of squads.
Yeah.
But including some mortar people.
Right.
Some of your guys.
Yep.
But were you the medic not only for the mortar people on that, but also for the infantry troops?
Yep.
I figured that. Okay. And so tell us about
the next one.
Huh?
The next story is we're on a mission and we landed in the rice paddies. And
the helicopter.
I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna take a break because I think I need one.
Okay, well, we're gonna continue, Frank. So,
okay.
I think we have to kind of make.
Are you suggesting anything to me? Because I wanna take a break.
Yeah, we're gonna continue right on, just in the interest of time. So, but you can go and come back if you want.
Okay.
So, please continue.
Yes.
So, like another mission?
Yes, another mission. We were let down in this rice paddy field. And I was in front of one of the soldiers. One of our soldiers, and we were marching right through the field. Well, not marching, we were walking through the field. With our weapons up, and I was ahead of this. One of my men, and I heard a big explosion behind me, and it's one of our men hit a mine, and he's calling medic, and I'm wondering where do I have to go. Back that way and get some more of those mines. So I said, no, he's hauling medic. I'll go around, make a circle around him.
To avoid the mines.
Right. If he got it, there might be more.
Probably were.
Right. So I got to him, but he's in the water up to his stomach, and I had the men come and help me lift him out of there, and his stomach was, I saw the body out, hanging outside of him, and I gave him a shot of morphine and bandaged him up best I could, but it was wet and it didn't hold good, but there was nothing we can do but dust him off from there. I knew he wasn't gonna make it. And he didn't make it.
He didn't make it. You said you dusted him off.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
You carried him to the big, to a big plane, dust off planes, I don't know what they call them.
Like the helicopters? In other words, you...
Yeah.
A medevac. A medical evacuation.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So you got him on some kind of a airplane, probably a big helicopter.
Yeah.
That came in to take him back to like a hospital.
Right. That's right.
But he was too gravely wounded.
Yes.
To make it.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure you did your very best to help him.
I did.
And so that mission, but you basically, once you got him medevaced, then you basically went back with the group on their mission?
Yeah.
Was it mostly uneventful, or did anything more happen on that mission?
No, that was it.
That was it. So after that was over, you went back to your base camp?
Right.
And waited for the call again?
That's right.
And tell us more about a call. I think when we talked earlier, you mentioned something about being close to an LST or some kind of a ship.
And, oh, yeah.
And you were someplace and...
We went on a mission going down the Mekong Delta in ships. And we traveled by foot to this Navy ship that had the doors would come down. I forget what they called
it. Was it an LST?
Yes. That's it.
So you were on that ship or going to it?
We were going to it. We got on it.
I see. And then you would be transported down the river?
That's right.
Up the river?
That's right.
So what happened?
Well, after a couple hours, they had steaks broiled on the grill, and we had sea rations or out-of-sea rations.
So the sailors had steaks, and you had sea rations?
And they wouldn't give us any steak.
You wouldn't give them any sea rations?
No.
Well, maybe you would, actually.
They wouldn't want them. The Navy ate well. Anyways, we're going down the river. And it's getting dark, you know. And we're down below.
Down below decks?
Below deck.
On the ship?
On the ship. And all of a sudden you hear ping, 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 ping. They were shooting at us.
From the shore?
From the shore. And we went by them. Next day we come back to where that shooting was from. We found a vehicle. No, it wasn't a Viet Cong. It was a South Vietnamese worker working in his field. And we went over to him and asked him, who did the shooting from here? He wouldn't talk.
Mm.
We asked him a couple of times. And then I pulled the rifle near his head, but I didn't shoot.
You pulled a rifle just to get him to talk?
Talk, but he wouldn't talk.
He wouldn't?
Because, you see, the Vietnamese has their wife and children, and if he talks, they kill them. So that I knew this, so I didn't. We didn't shoot him. We let him go, but we didn't get any more shootings. We went down the river once again, and then there was a big jungle, and I was downstairs, and God told me, go up on the deck.
Go up on the deck of the ship.
There was only a few people on the deck. the Navy men. And we saw firing. We fired the jungle. We fired it and put flames from this.
A flamethrower?
Yes. And lit up the sky. At the Viet Cong.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it, but they went, they let the, what do you call it, down for the men to go out on this mission. And,
The ramp?
Yeah.
So that the men could go out of the ship?
Yeah.
Onto the side of the river?
Yes.
Yeah. And you were up on deck?
Right. And I didn't realize it, but he saved me again.
He?
Because one of the men was our platoon sergeant. And he was hauling with the rifle up in the air.
He was running off the ship?
Yeah. He was, what do you call it, all
gung-ho?
Gung-ho. I had a cousin that died in Vietnam that was all gung-ho and everything. Nicest guy you want to ever meet. Got killed in Vietnam after three weeks of being there. His name was Frank D'Amico.
That's a cousin of yours?
Yes.
Frank D'Amico. But that's not the same. Was he on this?
No.
But that's another story.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to hear that. But what happened to this fellow who was gung-ho on your ship?
He's going, making noise like he's going to kill them all. And he shot him and killed him. And I saw that. And I said, oh, my God, thank you so much for saving my life again.
Because you were not down there.
Right, I would have been behind him probably and would have got killed too. You see?
Yes. So you were thankful.
Very thankful.
I think you told me that left you with kind of a feeling afterwards of safety.
Yes.
You describe that a little bit? Kind of how you felt, comfort?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
I mean that basically you said that God was protecting you.
Right.
And you kind of felt that would be that way going forward.
Yes, and it happened. The one before that I told you about, this one.
So these were examples of when you had good fortune.
Yes.
It sounds like a pretty harrowing time.
It is. War is hell. And I promised if I ever made it back home and I had a son that I would send him to Canada because he's not going to see what I saw in war. It's not fun.
Well, you saw, and as a medic, of course, you particularly saw the consequences of war, or some of the consequences of war.
Yes.
So were you in Vietnam for pretty much a year?
Yeah.
Right.
So I got out in November.
Of 69.
69.
And was that the end of your service?
Yes.
So you got out of the Army?
A month early or something.
What?
A month early.
A month early. And
November of 69.
I wanted to ask, I learned earlier that you received some decorations for your service.
Yeah.
In Vietnam. And I don't know if you remember them all, but I know one was an Army Commendation Medal.
Yes.
And you, that's quite a significant award, which I wanted to mention. Do you happen to recall why you got that? Just basically because you did a great job as a medic?
I believe so.
Must be. Well, congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
That's really nice. Really nice. Really nice. So you were out of the service in late 69. You flew back to what, Boston from like Oakland or something, or?
All the way into Boston. Got picked up by my family.
By your family, your mom and dad?
No, my brothers.
Your brothers picked you up?
Yeah.
Were they happy to see you?
Of course.
I bet they were. Welcome home.
Thank you very much.
I suppose others from Gloucester were also returning from the war, or did some of your friends and?
Yeah, and some didn't.
I know.
Like my cousin.
Like your cousin. Was he a Gloucester?
Yes.
Boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well. And I had a friend that died too. A couple of friends.
Who died in Vietnam?
Died in Vietnam.
It took a heavy toll.
Yes.
The war, that is.
Yes.
So you came back, did you go back to work for GE and Lynn?
For a while. Then they started going on strikes and I didn't like that.
Oh, they started to go on strikes?
Yeah.
You were part of a union?
Oh yeah. I didn't want to sit out, you know, and strike. So I left and went hunting for work.
And what did you wind up, did you wind up going into something that you basically stayed with, kind of for the rest of your working career?
No, I had a different job, but I got into the post office.
Okay, that's right. You said, I forget, but somebody helped you get a job in the post office.
Senator Ted Kennedy.
Whoa, that.
They were going to hire a non-veteran. Huh. Over me.
So you enlisted Senator Kennedy's help?
That's right.
That's a very powerful assist.
You're right, because in a matter of 3 days later, this postmaster called me in. He said, "Get in here, I got to talk to you."
And so, thus, your career with the Postal Service began.
Right.
You basically worked with the Postal Service for a career?
Yep. He said, "I want to talk to you. Get in here." Next day, I went in. He says, "Why'd you go? My head to Senator Kennedy, I was going to hire you." I says, "You're full of crap." "You stop Monday, keep your nose clean." I said, "Yes, sir."
And you basically kept your nose clean?
Yeah. Good. I had my wars in there, too.
In the Postal Service?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Right.
I mean, it's a big bureaucracy, right?
It is.
Were you basically a letter carrier?
Yeah. Letter carrier.
Yeah. So you logged a lot of miles?
Yeah.
But you were a good runner, as I recall.
Yep. And my son was a good runner.
Good. Like father, like son.
Right.
That's great.
And he's got a good job.
Well, good. Is he with the Postal Service too?
No. He's tell him what you did.
I work at Hanscom Air Force Base at Lincoln Laboratory.
What do you do? Wow. Okay. Great. Tied to the military.
Yep.
Great. So, were you involved at all in veterans? I got the sense that you were, from some of the materials you have, veterans stuff when you got out of the service?
Yeah.
Like organizations and...
Oh, yeah. I was in a...
I think you were in Disabled American Veterans, or are probably.
I'm in Disabled American Veterans. And what else?
Maybe the VFW or American Legion?
I was in the VFW at one time, and American Legion. I'm still a member of American Legion.
Of the Legion?
Yes.
And of course now you're surrounded by veterans here in the
right.
Bedford VA Hospital.
Yep.
So, Sam, this has been a great interview. Thank you for sharing so much of your life.
Thank you.
With us. I wanted to just ask you on reflection here, how important was it to you, was it that you served in the military?
How important?
Yeah. What did you think of it in terms of a life experience? Was it?
Hell.
It was hell.
I mean, I had some good times, but they were few and far between. But I wouldn't recommend.
You wouldn't?
Going into a war.
Especially in the time that you went, which was basically
right.
Directly into war.
Right.
A very tough war.
Correct.
What was the most, if you can think of one, what was the most memorable experience? And you shared a couple of them, and I guess really maybe those were your most memorable experiences. Anything a little more lighthearted, people, that you ran into?
Yeah. We set up our own hooches.
Hooches?
Hooches.
Places where you lived?
Yeah. With culverts. Culverts.
Yep. So for drainage?
Yep. With sandbags on top.
For protection.
All around.
Right.
But a big chopper called Chinooks carried all the heavy stuff, supplies and stuff, come down and I was in my hooch with the can, what do you call it? canvas.
Mm-hmm. The roof?
Yeah, comes down to the ground.
Yep.
And I had my arms, and I was on the ground, because that flung dirt and everything.
So the helicopter was kicking up
dirt? Come down to drop off supplies or something. But I got hit in the head. I was down, too, with that cover. I go, bam. Whatever it was flew over me, and they couldn't find it. And I got help. I said, help. I needed to get 6 stitches in the head.
Hmm. And that was all because the helicopter, the dam, did it actually lift the canvas off the hooch?
No.
No.
It was secure. Holding it.
Well, that a little extra excitement for you.
Yeah.
That's, well. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us? You've already shared a lot.
I wouldn't do it again.
You wouldn't do it again. But you did it once.
Right.
That's all that counts.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.